I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you today?
I am good. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too. It's the roaring 20s.
I have been thinking about that for a long time. Like, wow, it's the 20s. What's it going to be like this time?
Who knows? You know. Hey, the last 20 started out great. We just got to make sure it doesn't end like the last 20s ended.
I like this idea of 2020 being the year of clear vision, which, you know, because obviously 2020. Do you get it? Right?
Yes. Now I do. I'm a little slow.
Yes. So I said that to my husband and he laughed at me because my vision is so bad. Like my actual eyesight.
Yep.
He's like, well, maybe you can make your vision 2020, but your eyesight will never be 2020.
That is awesome. You know, I'm going to steal that from you.
I can't believe that you haven't thought of that.
I haven't thought of it. I was too busy with my year-end reflections and what did I learn from it and relishing in some past experiences. And yeah, so.
It sounds like you spent a lot of time doing that between Christmas and New Year's. How many hours did you say?
You know, somewhere between 12 and 16. And I didn't get to the really meat of planning 2020. I it was so wonderful to go back through. And one of the things that I mentioned to you before we started the podcast was that I have some tools now that will make next year's reflection much quicker. And really what I'm going to be doing is a weekly, because I do a daily, I'm going to do a weekly recap and then a monthly recap of the weeks. And then by the time I get to next December, I'd have 12 sheets of paper. But that's something that I just started. I wasn't doing it all last year. And so because of that, I literally went through almost every page of my daily planner and every day of my notes in Evernote to highlight, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, what did I learn, what will I change, my typical, and what was the highlight of my day, which are my typical reflection questions. And so ironically, I thought this was unique or interesting. I ended up with 52 key takeaways.
Yeah, I thought for sure that you did one for every week, but I guess it just worked out that way.
It did. And so it was just interesting. And then there were all, in addition to my 52 key takeaways, I had 28 events or highlights that spoke personally to me. So I just wanted to just give a little bit of an example to my readers in the post that I put out. And so one of them was this, when you are obsessed, and I mean that in a good way, with something, it will wake you up in the morning. And I remember hearing someone say in something that one of the classes I was taking or an online thing I was doing that literally if something is that ingrained in your mind, you'll even get up before your alarm clock. You will just wake up ready to go. And you and I have talked about, like, if we have a trip,
I was just going to say that.
We wake up before the alarm does. And it really is that our brains are getting programmed to know what we need to do. And it's interesting. Like, I don't know how my brain knows what time it is, but it does. So I started thinking, how could I cultivate a greater level of passion in certain things, things that I truly want to make progress in, to the point that it wakes me up in the morning in a good kind of way, anxious to get going. So that to me was just a powerful tool.
I mean, if you think about that, in not only like being passionate about your career, your job, but, you know, like taking care of yourself. Like shout out to my husband. He recently started waking up at like 5 or 5:30 every single morning, like 6 or 7 days a week, because he's like really been passionate about taking care of himself. And
awesome.
Good for him. I am more of an afternoon exerciser, but I can't believe it. But it's just, that is like something that gets him out of bed in the morning. For some people, I know it can be like, for me, if I know I can wake up and have my coffee and quiet, I am passionate about my, well, now it's espresso. I am passionate about my quiet espresso time. So that can get me up in the morning.
Great. Because that's, you know, when you're having your creative thoughts.
Yes.
In those times.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I think everyone just needs to find something to be to be obsessed with or passionate about.
Passionate about, right.
Yeah.
The, The second one I put in here was because. And I've mm-hmm. always, you know, because. Well, because is an excuse. Mm-hmm. But one of the teachings that I was taking part in said, took because and broke it apart and said, be the cause that brings you what you want. Mm-hmm. Don't look for the excuses in life. And I thought, isn't that great? You just take because, take the B-E away, and you have because. Be the cause of the change that you want, rather than sitting there saying, hey, I couldn't do it because of this and this and this. Mm-hmm. You know, excuses are nothing more than lies wrapped up in a little bit of truth to make them believable. So let's be the cause mm-hmm. of something better. And that just that thought can go into every aspect of our life. From our relationships, our health, our work, our communities, be the cause for good instead of just saying we can't because. It's just the word because right now just has a really bad taste in my mouth because mm-hmm. it's an excuse. The third one that I had was this statement. Highly successful people do two things very well. They start well and they finish well. Now that was like, okay, duh. But the next part of what I had written down when I reflected on this was only one of those comes naturally and the other they need to cultivate. So it's a rare exception for a person that can start well and end well, just naturally. Entrepreneurs oftentimes fail because they're great at starting, they're lousy at finishing, and they miss loose ends. And a lot of times the things that they start just collapse and fail. So with that one, it told me, okay, if I really want to be successful, I need to not only start but finish well. Which do I do more naturally? And I think I'm a more natural starter than finisher. Mm-hmm. So I have to have a lot of focus and cultivate in my mindset the ability or find the people to make sure I finish well. Mm-hmm. So those were the three key takeaways that I pulled out of my 52. But the next one's probably going to surprise people. So in terms of highlights and events, now it was an amazing, you know, 2019 was an amazing year for my family. We added a grandson in November. That could have easily risen to the top of my list. Mm-hmm. Our son Tim graduated from PA school. I remember the day that we were sitting outside Possibilities waiting for a table when he said, oh, by the way, I got a job offer in the NICU today. You know, this was even while he was still in school. So all of those were things that appeared on my highlights reel, so to speak, if I can call it that. Mm-hmm. But the one I wanted to share was this, and this may sound really simple and insignificant to some people, but for me, it was huge. So for the last at least 50 years, maybe 52 years, because I'm 58, and I think my dad got our first boat when I was 5 or 6. On the 3rd of July, weather permitting, we had always taken the boat and gone around Otisco Lake and what they call it the lighting of the lake, where people light flares. And nowadays there's full fireworks displays. It's pretty amazing. But this past July 3rd would have been the first time, other than when they canceled it for weather, that I would have missed it. And the reason I would have missed it was my boat wasn't operable. And our listeners know the saga that I had with my boat engine all summer. Mm-hmm. But that Wednesday night, we had a Bible study at our church, and they light the flares around 9, and the Bible study ends at 8:30. And so I was just sitting there, and I was feeling down. I know it's childish, but I was kind of feeling down all day that this was a major part of my life, so to speak, that I was going to miss. And a dear friend of mine, his name is Emil. He went up to either my son or my wife, I forgot which. He saw them first. He said, "Hey, would you guys like to come out to the lake? Go for a boat ride to see the flares." He and his wife have a boat. They had a boat at a dock. And it was just like, we had such a wonderful time. He and his wife, I grew up with his wife. We were very, very close. And we just had a wonderful time just, you know, sitting on his pontoon boat, looking at the flares, watching the fireworks, and just laughing and enjoying one another's company. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wrote about. Because had I not written down that thought on July 3rd, which was well in between, hey, I got a job in the NICU, I'm graduating, and a baby's born. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of an insignificant day, if you want to call it that. That was the highlight of my day. And when I reflected on that day, I was able to relive this most amazing experience. And then I was able to share it with them. And he and his wife said to us, you know, we didn't realize it had that big of an impact on your family. Because it wasn't just me, my wife, my son, Tim, the three of us were thrilled. We ran out of church to get home and, you know, get some shorts and shirts on type of thing to go out there and sit on the boat.
Yep. So their little bit of kindness went a long way.
Their little bit of kindness not only made my day on the 3rd of July, but stayed constant in my thoughts as I wrapped out my year end. And so that's the benefit of this reflection piece. Mm-hmm. It may seem insignificant, but not only did I relive it again, but the memory is even more deeply ingrained in my mind. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm going to go back. I'm going to look at the pictures we took. I shot some videos with my phone while we were on the boat. It was just wonderful. And again, that's the value of reflection. Without the year-end reflection, it might have been forgotten. So those were the ones that I pulled out. I sent them over to you.
Yep. I've got the whole list. And I did go through and I wanted to talk about a few of them specifically.
Sure.
I was hoping that you could talk about, you know, what that statement means to you, what you really gleaned from it, why it's important, and how some of these will change what you do this year to make 2020 even better.
Okay, good.
All right. So let's see. On your list here, number 6 was, what is the worst thing they can do? Judge you? They are already judging you.
Yeah. So it was interesting. When I went back through, I don't know what was happening on that day. For whatever reason, that's the thought that I wrote down, but I didn't write the why. And that's not important, because the reality of that statement says this. You know, we oftentimes worry what people think, and we don't act because of worrying about what people think. But they're already judging us. So what does it matter what they think? You know, and there were things that I perhaps didn't say that I should have said. Perhaps I was in situations in meetings where I should have spoken up and I didn't because I was worried. You know, sometimes if you're managing a team, there's behaviors that maybe you need to correct quicker than you do. You just don't want to rock the, why not? Things, you know, if I'm in a staff meeting and I think somebody, you know, is being, inappropriate, perhaps not inappropriate, but overly critical. It might be my responsibility after the meeting's over with to just take them aside and say, can we talk about that? You know, I don't know what you were trying to accomplish, but maybe this is how it came across. You may not have wanted that to happen. And so there were a lot of these events that throughout the year that I think I could have had a greater impact on, but I didn't, because I didn't want somebody to think ill of me. So that was the point behind that one. You know, when you believe you're right, speak up. Because you might be the only person that does.
Yeah. When I read that, I was thinking a lot about vulnerability.
Sure. Yes. You know, are you willing to ask for help? Are you willing to admit you don't know something? Are you willing? You know, we've talked about on the podcast how when I was in school, I never wanted to admit that I didn't understand something. So guess what? I didn't understand it. So yeah, same thing. Yep.
Great.
And the point is, people are already judging us.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what other people think about us. It's what we feel in ourselves that really is what matters. So that was number 6.
All right. So the next one I had here is, you can't have uphill hopes and downhill habits.
Yes. You know, so this is a Maxwellian quote, if I'll use it that way. Something John Maxwell says a lot, and for whatever reason, on a day, I must have needed it. But all of us wish to have a better tomorrow than we had yesterday. You know, I was just reading a post on Instagram. There's a group that I follow, and this is actually a marriage kind of topic thing that I follow. And this couple paid off $200,000 worth of debt in less than 5 years.
Wow.
I think it was 3 years and 4 months or something like that.
Wow.
And they talked about the sacrifice. They came across the teachings of Dave Ramsey, must have bought one of Ramsey's Solutions books or something, Dave's books. which talks about being debt free. And it was, and they, I just quickly scanned it. They said it was hard work. Mm-hmm. You know, it was saying no to a lot of things they would have loved to say yes to. But that's what it means. If you have, you know, uphill hopes, climbing uphill is hard work. But if we have downhill habits, which means we coast, mm-hmm. you'll never coast your way to success. Maybe that's another way to put it. Mm-hmm. You have to pedal or climb your way to success, whatever success means to you. If you want to achieve different things, Sir Francis Bacon said, if we are to achieve things never before achieved, we must expect to apply methods never before attempted. You got to work at it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. And you have to say no to the good to make time for the best. So that's really what that one was. It was just an encouragement for me to stop whining, get back on the bike, and keep pedaling. Mm-hmm. Because you don't coast your way to success.
Right. The next one. So many things are within our physical reach, but they are not within our mental reach. So we don't think we can achieve them.
Yes, 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 yes. This was a great one. And mm-hmm. and I remember enough about when I heard it. Now here's something that I will tell people. Because a lot of these were typed in my Evernote, I don't have the awareness of the where and the when as well as if I had handwritten it. Mm-hmm. But I will also say that if I only did handwritten things, I wouldn't have put as much down because sometimes I'm in my car and I just, you know, I open up the app. Like today, I was listening to a podcast on my way to and from work. And so I opened up my Evernote app so that all I have to do is hit the microphone button and dictate a note. But what this is saying is that we don't have a clue how much is really within our grasp because our mind limits us. I heard another quote, and I'm going to butcher it because I heard this one on the way home today, that when we have finally gotten to a point in life where we have achieved everything we think we need, that's this exact time when we need to keep going because there is tremendous contribution and leverage that's just beyond that point. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, I've gotten to everything I need. That means I'm firing on all cylinders, so to speak. If I would just keep going, I could achieve greater things, not necessarily just for me, but for others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could use an example of the John Maxwell team because I've used that in the past. 2011, it was started. I became certified in 2014. There might have been 4,000 of us. There's over 20 some thousand. It might even be 30,000. I think it's 30,000. Now, if somebody would have said to John when he was already retired, hey, how would you like to certify 30,000 people in 160 countries? He would have said, that's not possible. Well, he wouldn't, but a normal person would have said, that's not possible. But he doesn't limit his actions by his thought life. Mm-hmm. So he sees the multiplier effects. So you really have to expand your thinking to achieve things that don't seem possible yet. You know, because you've seen me working on some of this stuff, that I'm trying to take some of Rachel Hollis's advice she gave us at Live to Lead of just getting more social on social media and putting more things out there. And yeah, I have to get past the thing that says, well, who's going to want to see it? And her point is, it doesn't matter. People do. You just can't see them yet. You don't know them yet. So you got to just push through. Our brains are going to tell us we can't do it, but it literally is, in some cases, a click away or an effort away or, you know, a couple more hours in the evening working on something away from really significant growth or opportunity for us. So that's what that one means.
The next one is kind of similar. And it's number 35, verbalize and visualize. Yeah. Well, I guess verbalizing and visualizing will help you focus.
Right. And this one, you know, I struggle with focus. Mm-hmm. I struggle from following the shiny object syndrome. You know, maybe that's why I think I'm a better starter than I am finisher. I like exciting new things. I like to try new things. But oftentimes, because I'm scattered, I'm not as focused as I need to be. But if I can verbalize what I want, you know, a lot of times if I'm talking something through with you, mm-hmm. or if I'm talking it through with you know, my coach, or if I'm talking it through with a family member, I begin to see it better, and then I can literally visualize what it is I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, it allows you to focus because it clarifies things. Unless you verbalize and visualize, you can't clarify. So you're looking, you know, it's almost like, you know, you talked about eyesight, you know, for those of us that, and my eyesight as I get older gets worse. It used to be that I could take the eye exam at the DMV without my glasses. I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so we take our glasses off or you take your contacts out and we look at that chart. We know that they're letters, but we can't see them sharp enough yet. But if we would begin to verbalize what's there over and over and over again, all of a sudden there would be some clarity. Even without our glasses, we would begin to see what those letters are. In fact, I actually know a story of a man who started a company in town years ago. He passed away in, I think, 1979. But his eyesight got so bad, but he memorized the eye chart at the DMV. And one time when he went to get his license renewed, the young lady behind the counter said, "Sir, did you really read that?" And he said, "No, dear, I haven't been able to read that for years. I memorized it." And he didn't get his license renewed.
Oh, no. It's probably for the best.
Which was really good. But you know what? I ended up having a job as his chauffeur when I was a senior in high school. I would stop on my way home because he lived down the street from me. Mm-hmm. And I got to drive him around. And I got paid. Imagine being 17 years old and getting paid to drive. That was like a dream come true.
All right, I have one more on the list. Number 40, most of the unhappiness in life comes from listening to yourself rather than talking to yourself.
Right. You know, I just shared this with a coaching client today. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, we as human beings tend to go down the rabbit hole of negativity. Mm-hmm. And we allow our thought life to spin out of control. You know, I'll give you an example, and I don't know if I've ever given this one on a podcast, but so I get home from work before my wife. As soon as I come through the door and she's not here, and this was really bad before there were cell phones. Mm-hmm. Like when you didn't have contact with people on your fingertips, it was worse. She's not home. What happened? Well, she was in an accident. I'm going to get a phone call. She's in the emergency room at whatever, you know, and all the worst yet would be if I'm on the way home and I hear there was an accident somewhere on the route that she travels. Mm-hmm. And our mind goes to the negative right away. We would never go to the point that says, "Oh, maybe she stopped over, you know, at Green Hills to pick up some donuts for me." I mean, that's not where my mind goes. My mind goes that something bad happened. I was sharing this story with my coaching client this afternoon, and I was talking about a day when I was at SelfLock, and we were going through some financial struggles, which every company does from time to time. And I remember the moment I was, you know, my wife, I think trying to cheer me up, said, you know, "Listen, let's go up to the Antique Boat Show in Clayton." And I'm standing in a certain spot at the Antique Boat Museum, and I literally have a panic attack that, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to liquidate the company. You know, and like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Nothing could have been farther from the truth, but our brains go there. So what I'm saying in this quote that I wrote down was, we listen to our brains rather than talking to ourselves. We need to reinforce the positives, the positive affirmations. We need to focus on gratitude. You know, the whole point of a gratitude journal is so that we're talking to ourselves rather than listening to ourselves. I have a dear friend of mine, a woman that was recently diagnosed with an illness, a very serious illness, and my guess is she's in her upper 60s. But when I met her this Sunday, she said to me, she said, you know what? She said, I really believe, she had heard this quote somewhere else, and she said, I really believe this applies to my life. My best years are ahead of me. And I said, wow. Perfect. And I gave her a big hug because she understands this. Don't listen to yourself. Mm-hmm. Talk to yourself. You can talk yourself. If you listen to yourself, relationships crumble, jobs fail, you know. I'll give you another example. Whenever it was that Bill Clinton was elected the first time, it wasn't 1990. The media, he said, this is the worst economy in 50 years. And it wasn't. But he said it. And I'm not faulting him for saying it. It was a great political move. The media picked up on it and carried it over and over and over and over and over again. So what happens when we hear that the economy's going south? We start saving money. We don't spend. Well, guess what happens if people don't spend? The economy goes south. So it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can talk yourself in and out of anything. Just instead of listening to your brain spiral out of control, take charge of your thought life and tell yourself the better things. And the world gets better.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reminder for us all.
Yeah, especially as we get into the roaring 20s now, mm-hmm. which, you know, the year of the vision, 2020. So,
yeah.
See, I've already used it once.
I'm just shocked that you haven't either seen that somewhere or thought of it yourself.
I must have. I told you, I spent the last who knows how many days. Whenever I could break away from family without being considered rude, just pouring over these notes, because it was just an amazing experience, so exciting. Well, not all of it was good. I mean, I had to admit my failures, mm-hmm. and they're equally powerful because those failures say, "Hey, don't do that again. That didn't work out well."
Yep.
So, sometimes we learn better from what didn't go well than what did. So, any more that you want to ask me about? We're just about out of time, so you probably don't want to.
You know, I did realize I missed one. Oh. So, yes. Don't ask if your calendar is full. Ask who is filling it.
Yes. This is the intentional living 1.0 or whatever, 101. yeah, you know, so if you don't intentionally fill your calendar, someone will. Mm-hmm. Just know it. It's going to happen. Happens to me. Happens to everybody. Don't ask, is it full? Say, who's filling it? And mm-hmm. so who should fill it? You should fill it.
Mm-hmm.
And you should fill it first with things that matter most in your life. So what might those things be? Family time. Get them on the calendar. One of the things that I have not done that I need to do yet, I only have one weekend that's reserved on the calendar for my wife and I. And I want to get a couple more vacation notes in there before I start scheduling events. Mm-hmm. So you start with what matters most in your life, and then the rest of the world's going to fill it in. Whatever gaps you have, and make sure you put margin time in, because remember, mm-hmm. 2 tons of fertilizer in a 1-ton truck. We get covered in fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Any idea on what we're talking about next week?
Yes. Crockpots and microwaves.
Ooh, I'm really good with a crock pot.
I'm pretty good with a microwave. And it was crock pots, not crack pots.
Crock pot.
So, yeah, crock pots and microwaves. That's all I'm going to tell you.
I have an idea of where that could be going.
Good. We'll find out next week if you're right.
Sounds good.
All right. So we better wrap this up, or people are going to say, wait a minute, this podcast is going close to 30 minutes.
I know.
And we try not to do that. So I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And
you too.
Make the most of every moment.
I will.
With that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
This was The Next Page.